Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on raw milk updates when we come back. Hey, are you concerned about your privacy? Well, how much does your government know about you anyway, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, your government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself, and that's because everything the government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, the Fourth Amendment protects us in our person, houses, papers, and effects, but it doesn't protect us from ourselves. Now, can we have privacy in this computer age? And the answer is, you bet we can. Information is gathered and it's stored in a very reasoned and very logical manner for later retrieval and use. It's knowing how this information is gathered, what information is being stored, and what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts us in the driver's seat in our quest for privacy. Always keep in mind that no one knows anything about you that you haven't revealed by your own hand or by your own mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, then call us here at the law school and ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. It's a four-hour program, four-hour CD set, that's what it is. Just give us a call and ask for it. The number's 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct, 417-273-4967. Well, in the Acres USA for December, I believe it is. Let me take a quick look here. They've got an article in here on milk, M-I-L-K. I know it would be better if they had it on Jack Daniels or something more productive, but December 2007. Got an article in here called Raw Milk Update. And in the article, they gave some other sources of information. I haven't talked about milk for a long time, especially raw milk. And we get calls here constantly from people listening to this program, listening to our archives, especially on, they'll hear one of those milk stories and they'll say, well, where can I buy this raw milk? And there's a number of sources that, surprisingly, over the last 6 or 7 years that have appeared across the country. Raw milk is becoming so popular that there are now websites springing up all over to show you where to get raw milk. I didn't know that. I thought getting raw milk was like getting, you know, getting drugs that you'd have to, you know, go undercover and you'd have to sneak around, you know, like you're buying heroin or cocaine if you wanted to buy raw milk. But truth of the matter is, most of the states have a process or a program whereby you can buy raw milk and you can do it legally without sneaking around. In a couple, three states, you have to sneak around. And they've got a list of them over here. I'll give you those as we progress along. But Acres USA, in case you don't subscribe, is about $32 a year, $36 a year, something like that. It's dirt cheap. It comes out monthly. And it's about 100 pages. I mean, it's a big, big, heavy duty. It might not be 100. Let me see how many pages. Yeah, 97, 98, 99. Yeah, it's 100 pages every month. And it is the bellwether of organic food. So for that 12% of us that are interested in organic food, and the production of organic food, and Rodale, and people like that. And I think Acres USA is a must-read. Comes every month, and they're down in Austin, Texas. That's where you write. I'll give you their address, what I'm thinking about here. This is Acres USA, the voice of Echo Agriculture. And Acres USA is published monthly by the Acres USA Incorporated. Subscription rates $27 in the U.S., 12 issues. International is $37 a year. U.S. funds only they want. So if you're living overseas, it's $37, and if you're living here in the States, it's $27. And their phone number is 512-892-4400. That's 512-892-4400. And they're located at Post Office Box 91299. That's five digits. That's Post Office Box 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709. And then they've got a four-digit after zip code. It's 1289. That's 78709-12. Let me take a look here. Fine print. Come on. It's 1299. All right, so there's the name and address of the Acres company. Their article here, Raw Milk Update, demand increases despite a campaign of fear. So if you're like most people, you're probably terrified of the concept of raw milk. I thought I'd give you a little information here concerning raw milk and the design of raw milk built in by God the Creator himself, who in the Bible tells us to drink raw milk Yeah, believe it or not, drink milk, lots of it. Now, once that milk's been pasteurized, it becomes a deadly toxic poison. It's an industrial byproduct. It's an industrial cleanser is what it is. And I would avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD after it's been pasteurized, homogenized, and chemically treated. And just like any other food that's been adulterated, it isn't fit for human consumption. And I wouldn't feed it to my calves or livestock or anything else. But a lady was talking to one of my students here. It was actually his girlfriend, and he'd called her here from school and said he's drinking raw milk here at the school. And she said, oh, my God, I hope that it's been boiled first. And I remember one time a lady out in California, she had a cow, Jersey cow, pretty good-looking cow, too. And she'd pasteurize the milk on the stove before she would give it to her children. I often wondered, why would anybody want to milk a cow? Go to all the trouble of milking a cow and then pasteurize the milk before you drink it. Because the people that have cows, you know, little guys, you know, like us that have a milk cow, we have the milk cow and the inconvenience that goes along with it because we want the raw milk and we know the difference between raw and pasteurized. For most of you, you probably don't know the difference between raw and pasteurized and how this story came about. So if you'll go back in our archives, there's a couple of series of programs on raw milk. This update, which comes from Acres, zeroes in on where can you get it. Not is it good for you, but, you know, where can you get it? Because now we've got a huge market developing for raw milk, just like we have a huge marketing or market developing for organic and raw foods. Milk is an organic and raw food that you should take advantage of if you can. Many of you can't. You're locked up in the cities, locked up in an institution. You probably can't get it. Since our last update in July of 2007, the demand for raw milk has continued to increase rapidly. Coverage in the media, both the Washington Post and the New York Times, ran articles on raw milk in August. The growing dissatisfaction with the industrial food system have been contributing factors. And the growth in raw milk consumption has not escaped the attention of government officials. State and federal agencies have responded to the growth in demand by carrying out a campaign of fear in an attempt to convince the public that raw milk is dangerous to your health. And much of this effort has centered on the pathogen called Listeria. Now, the Listeria scare. Within the past year, 11 dairies selling raw milk, 6 in New York and 5 in Pennsylvania, and 1 dairy in California selling raw cream, had their sales suspended by the state for positive tests for Listeria. In none of the 12 cases did anyone become sick, but in each case, a press release was issued informing the public that the dairy's milk or cream had tested positive for Listeria, and that those who had purchased milk or cream from the producer in question should throw it away. The press releases typically warned that Listeria can cause a serious and sometimes fatal disease called listeriosis in young children, frail or elderly people, and others with weakened immune systems. That was published in the FDA News for September 21, 2007. It was a press release. In May of 2007, the Center for Disease Control released records in response to a Freedom of Information Act request on the number of people who had become ill from consuming raw milk and raw milk products from 1972 through 2005. Now, the records disclosed that there had never been a case of illness caused by Listeria in raw milk or cream during that time. All right, now let's pause here for a minute. Now, the FDA, they're charged now with protecting our health, you know, the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. And then we've got the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control. Then we've got the AMA, that's the American Medical Association. Then we've got the Department of Agriculture and all these agencies, all these people working their hearts out to protect your health. Let's see again, between 1972 and 2005, they've just been working their hearts out. And there's never been a case of Listeria causing anybody to get sick in that period of time, but they closed dairies down. Now, think about this for a minute in the context. It just drives you nuts, you know, trying to figure out what in the hell are these people up to? What is their agenda that they're closing these dairies down and telling you that Listeria is a problem and that it's going to kill you? And that and if you don't have boiled milk, you know, you're just taking your life in your hands. Could there be some other agenda that these guys are pursuing here? 2005 back to 1972, that's 30 years. 30 years. Never had a single case of a sickness being caused by this Listeria. Now, there's Listeria, brucellosis, TB, E. coli, milk fever, pink eye, and cholera. These are diseases that have been linked to raw milk. They're about as phony as a $3 bill. Hell, you'd do better with you'd do better with raw milk than you do with a $3 bill, and it's that phony. Now, going on, he says, though, the records disclosed that there had never been a case of illness caused by Listeria in raw milk or cream during that 30-some-year time. The FDA's own documents reflect the same findings. For fears, the agency has published the FDA Food Code Model Regulations for the retail sector of the food industry. A majority of the states have adopted all or part of the food code. In Annex 4 of the code, there is a table on selected biological hazards found at retail and foods associated with those hazards. Raw milk is listed as being a food associated with Salmonella and E. coli. Raw milk is not listed as being a food associated with Listeria. This Listeria scare is groundless. And this is little consolation, though, for the 12 farms that have been closed as a result of it. Each lost at least 2 weeks of sales due to these suspensions. In New York, a potentially significant case is underway in New York. Until March of this year, Steve and Barbara Smith held a permit to sell raw milk. Under state law, those holding a permit can sell raw milk only on the farm. The Smiths do not have or do not live near a population center, and this restriction limited the growth of their customer base. On March 10th, the Smiths gave up their permit and started a new business model. They deeded their cows to a limited liability company, it's called Meadowsweet Dairy, LLC, and sold membership interests in the LLC to those who wanted to obtain raw dairy products. The Smiths began deliveries to the LLC members, and their business grew rapidly. By October, there were 115 members and 30 more on the waiting list. When the Smiths returned their permit to the New York Department of Agriculture and Markets, they informed the agency of their plans to start Meadowsweet Dairy, LLC, and contended the LLC was still subject to the permit requirement and continued to inspect the dairy. Tensions between the Smiths and New York DAM, NYDAM, escalated over the next 7 months until October the 11th, when the agency executed a seizure order on 260 pounds of raw dairy products at the Smiths' farm. Now, the Smiths intend to respond to the seizure by filing suit to obtain a court ruling that Meadowsweet Dairy is not under the jurisdiction of the state. I want to pause right here and tell you that the mistake here that the Smiths made was in incorporating their dairy. It comes under a doctrine called Hale versus Hinkle. Hale versus Hinkle. The state's right in this case, and the state will win. Let me pause here for a moment and show you something. And this thing of selling raw milk is akin to vaccinations in public school or homeschooling your child. There are certain rules and regulations, certain laws, customs, usages, and practices that we have followed in Anglo-Saxon administration over the past 3,000 years, that is, from the time Moses got the law from God at Mount Sinai until last night at 5 o'clock. And the trick in all of this is to obey all these laws, rules, codes, and regulations and take advantage of all the loopholes that they offer. Now, one of the basic principles in Anglo-Saxon administration is called strict liability. That is, you have to be liable for your actions. And what the Smiths did when they incorporated with their LLC, no doubt they went to a lawyer and he told them, well, you should get an LLC. That's so that he could get a $350 or $550 or $3,500 stipend for having created this corporation. And then when you create a corporation, what you're doing is inviting in limited liability. And it's the exact opposite to strict liability. And the state under Hale versus Hinkle, 201 U.S. 43, if you want to look it up, 201 U.S. 43. Turn to page 75 and it'll tell you the liabilities of individuals versus corporations. And so these people are dead in the water. They're legally incompetent, number one. Farmers are probably great at, but they're legally incompetent. So they went out and hired a whore. Now they're wondering why they've got legal problems. Boys and girls, when you hire a whore, disease will probably be the results. Now, going on with the story. When the Smiths returned their permit to the New York Department of Agriculture and Markets, they informed the agency of their plans to start Meadowsweet Dairy, LLC. That's their mistake. Privacy is guaranteed under the Fourth Amendment. Why would you want to invite the state in? The state is your enemy. It's not your friend. The government's your enemy. And these people, evidently, have been educated in public school, didn't understand that. A lawyer is a contagious whore. Obviously, these people didn't understand that. And so they went out and they hired a contagious whore to go deal with their enemy, and now they're in trouble. That's predictable. If you go to a whorehouse, probably. You know, not necessarily certainly, but probably you'll end up with some kind of a disease. You could end up with a disease called divorce, juvenile delinquency, alimony, child support, things like that. Those are penalties. Now, they went on to say here, the Smiths intend to respond to the seizure by filing suit to obtain a court ruling that Meadowsweet is not under the jurisdiction of the state. My vote would be they are, and that they're going to get burned. The Smiths are members of the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, which has hired Gary Cox to represent them. They went out and hired a whore to represent them, to cure them of the venereal disease that they got at the whorehouse. Excuse me, children, but honest to God, do you think that going to a whorehouse for a cure to venereal disease is the logical conclusion? Now, a favorable ruling would considerably improve the prospects of raw milk farmers in New York. There are fewer than 20 licensed farmers, and the restriction on farm sales limits opportunities for licensees. A ruling that Meadowsweet Dairy LLC is not under the state's jurisdiction could enable New York raw milk producers to recover, at least recover much of the business now being lost to the neighboring states of Connecticut and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. The case of Newville dairy farmer Mark Nolt has drawn national attention in August of 2006. Nolt gave up his raw milk permit and continued to sell raw dairy products. He contends that he sells to customers pursuant to private contracts that are not under the state's jurisdiction. Now, that's more logical. Now, he can do that. That comes under Article 1, Section 10. Government is prohibited from impairing the obligation of your contracts. Unfortunately, there's a little caveat that goes with that. Now, the people that he's selling this raw milk to are all institutionalized people with social security numbers. They're wards of the state. These people are incapable of maintaining, taking care of, or determining for themselves their own health issues. That's why we have doctors. Now, if you look up the word professional in Bouvier's Law Dictionary, you'll find that a professional is a guardian. And if you look up guardian word relationship in Corpus Juris Secundum or American jurisprudence, it will explain to you the duties of the court, the guardian, the conservator, conservator, and the ward. It's a guardian ward relationship. Picture it this way. You want to sell raw milk to prisoners who are locked up in the state penitentiary. So you go up to the fence, and you're conducting business through the fence with these prisoners. Don't you suppose that the state, in this case, the warden and the guards are going to come out and say, excuse me, just what in the hell do you think you're doing here? We are conducting business with these prisoners through the fence, and they have a right to buy raw milk, to buy cigarettes, to buy anything that we want to sell them through the fence. Now, how many of you people out there, honest to God, believe that? That you've got a right to go up to a penitentiary, to an insane asylum, and do business with the prisoners that are inside. Now, just what in the world makes you think that you have a right to do business with American citizens with social security numbers, driver's licenses, birth certificates, driver's licenses, business licenses, and other contracts with the state in which they have declared themselves to be incompetent and unable to manage their own affairs and have the state now acting as their guardian? And you think that you can sell these people raw milk? Huh? All right. Now, with that out of the way, on May 7th, 2007, Nolte was found guilty by a magistrate of selling raw milk without a permit. Nolte appealed the conviction while continuing to sell raw dairy products. He sold milk to undercover agents from the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture on three separate occasions. And on June 21st, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture filed for an injunction to restrain Nolte from further selling of raw dairy products. The injunction was granted on July 2nd, but Nolte continued to sell raw dairy products to his customers. On August the 2nd, the judge ordering the injunction, found Nolte to be in contempt and authorized the PDA to seize and discard any raw milk products under Nolte's custody or control. The order authorized the Pennsylvania Attorney General to arrest Nolte for civil contempt and incarcerate Nolte until such time as Nolte indicates to the court that he will not offer for sale the dairy products manufactured from or containing raw milk without obtaining the proper permits from the PDA. And the order further stated, the execution of this order shall be suspended for 20 days, during which time Mr. Nolte may apply for the appropriate permits. Okay, now let's pause here for a moment. The state regulates this thing of selling raw milk. And where do they get the authority to do that? They get it from the guardian ward authority granted by the people of the state. Now, I don't know how many people live in Pennsylvania, but all of the residents of Pennsylvania, all of the registered voters, all those people with birth certificates and social security numbers are wards of the state. They're just as much wards of the state as a prisoner in a state penitentiary or a nutcase who's in a state asylum. Now, of course, you people there, you don't see it that way, but then I'm not here to argue with you. I'm just here to report to you. That's the way the law works. And if the law didn't work that way, if the people of Pennsylvania had rights, I mean, if these people had the capacity that Mr. Nolte here, and these people evidently believe that they have to buy, sell, and trade in raw milk, well, then the state wouldn't be involved with it. So obviously the state got this power somewhere. Now, I drink raw milk, and then we have laws here in this state that regulate raw milk. The state has determined, just like parents determine for their own children. Let's say you got a 10-year-old kid, and you determine for whatever reason that this kid should not drink raw milk. And so I come along and I say, well, I think your kid should drink raw milk. So I start clandestinely selling my raw milk to your 10-year-old kid. What do you think about that, Bob? Sally? Wouldn't you say, well, you can't do that? That's exactly what the state of Pennsylvania is doing. They're sitting there saying, wait a minute. You cannot sell this raw milk to our charges, our wards of the state. They don't have capacity. Now, let's take this case a step further. Let's suppose that your kid grows up and he gets to be 21 years old, and he says, okay, Mom and Dad, I've had it with this pasteurized milk crap. I'm leaving home. I'm going to emancipate myself. And so your kid moves out and gets himself an apartment, and then he comes to me and he says, all right, now, Gordon, I'm ready to buy raw milk, and I'm selling raw milk to your kid. And you come along and you say, well, you can't do that. And your kid says, well, certainly I can. I'm emancipated. I'm free from your custody and control. Now, boys and girls, when you people up in Pennsylvania emancipate yourself from the care, custody, and control of the state of Pennsylvania, you too can drink raw milk. And until then, you can't, and Mr. Nolte can't sell it to you. As long as you're living under Mommy and Daddy's roof, you can't drink raw milk in that house. Now, you can move out of Pennsylvania, but, you know, there's actually a way for you to do that without moving out of Pennsylvania. I mean, people can emancipate themselves from state control. But I'm always amazed when I read these stories. You know, let me give you an illustration. My name is George Gordon. I drink raw milk. I don't have vaccinations, and I didn't get vaccinations for my children. I sent my children to public school without vaccinations, and so could you. I educated my children at home in homeschool, and I did it within the confines and the statutes of the state, both in Idaho, California, and now in Missouri. And all of the states have government controls over education, vaccinations, raw milk, and so on. And the trick is to practice all these laws at all times, and particularly the law of God. Now, raw milk is good for you, and pasteurized milk is bad for you. I wouldn't dispute that. But Mr. Nolte here doesn't have a right to run around selling raw milk to inmates in the state of Pennsylvania, commonly called citizens. He does not have that right. And those citizens of the state of Pennsylvania do not have the right to buy that raw milk from Mr. Nolte without the state of Pennsylvania's consent and permission. And that's the law. I didn't make it that way. I'm just here to report that to you. And if the people of Pennsylvania want to buy raw milk from Mr. Nolte, there's a legal modality for doing that. But they can't do it in the way that they have been conducting this type of business in the past, called public business. That's against the law. You can't do that. So it's time to wake up, smell the coffee, and get square with the law. The authorities of Pennsylvania aren't a real threat to the manufacture and the production and the distribution of raw milk in Pennsylvania to people who are qualified to handle this dangerous product called raw milk, just like the dangerous product called heroin and cocaine. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here at the midway point that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives. That can be accessed through the website as well. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate, and that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, or mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. We're covering an article here on Raw Milk Update, published in the December 2007 Acres USA. Acres is a dynamite publication. If you'd like to get a copy of this article from Acres, you can write to Acres or call them. Here's their phone number. It's 512-892-4400. That's 512-892-4400. Or you can write to them at Post Office Box 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709-1299. P.O. Box 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709-1299. That's the zip code. This is Acres, USA. All right. Now, as an addition to their report, they go on to say on August the 10th, a group of 10 state police, along with agents from the FDA and the PDA, raided Nolte's farm, confiscating about $25,000 worth of dairy products, equipment, and packaging supplies. As of October, nothing had been returned to the farmer. He refused to apply for a permit, and the PDA claimed that Nolte's products made several people ill, but provided no proof to substantiate their allegations. Nolte's courageous stand has intensified the debate in Pennsylvania about what the PDA's jurisdiction should be over producers who sell direct to their customers. There has been dialogue among several state legislators and those in support of a statutory exemption for farmer to consumer direct sales, waiting to see if the legislature resolves the controversy over unpermitted direct sales. The PDA has postponed taking enforcement action for the present time against other farmers, like Nolt, who have been selling raw milk without a permit. In Maryland, on January the 5th, 2007, Buckeystown farmer Kevin Oyarzo filed suit against the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene to overturn a regulation the agency had issued effectively banning cow shares in the state. For more details on the background of the suit, see the February 2007 issue of Acres USA. Oyarzo asked the court to grant a motion for summary judgment, finding that the agency had exceeded its statutory authority when it issued the regulation expanding the definition of sale to include contractual arrangements such as cow shares. Now, state law prohibits the sale of raw milk in Maryland. The MDHMH responded by filing their own cross motion asking the court to dismiss the farmer's suit. On July the 18th, a hearing on the two motions took place at the Frederick County Circuit Court. On August the 3rd, the circuit court judge issued her opinion denying the farmer's motion for summary judgment and granting the agency's motion. Oyarzo's lawyers had hoped to persuade the court that a proposed herd share agreement under which Oyarzo intended to operate did not violate the law. The lawyers argued that the agency's expansion of the definition of sale had the effect of banning the sale of cows because the regulation prohibited any agreement that would transfer the right to the milk of the cow. The judge held that the regulation does not prohibit the sale of cows because what is purchased is not a cow, but a percentage interest in a herd. The judge did not go on to say why purchasing a percentage interest in a herd would be illegal. Does this mean that an investment by a syndicate in a percentage of a commercial dairy herd would be illegal? I'm going to pause right here. I can't contain myself. This selling shares in the herd is an obvious attempt to bypass the intent of the law, which is to prohibit the sale of raw milk to individuals in the state. Maryland is one of those states that prohibits the sale of raw milk. Now, not all states prohibit the sale of raw milk, and when you engage in a contract with the intent to defeat a law, then the contract is null and void ab initio. You cannot contract to kill somebody and then say, well, I've got a right to kill him because it's done under contract and it's protected at Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. Come on, children, let's wake up and smell the coffee. You know, sometimes these attempts by lay people to circumvent the law are childish in their extreme. And this is one of them. Now, it is true that in several states, these share-type programs or operations have been successful. That is, the state hasn't pursued it on the grounds that these shares are obvious attempts to contract for the express purpose of violating the law. You can't do that. In fact, the laws of your state will spell out to you that you can't enter into a contract which would violate any state laws. And contracts are written. There's a clause in all standard contracts that says that, you know, if for some reason one part of this contract should be adjudged to be illegal, it doesn't affect the rest of the contract and vice versa. So anyway, just so that you grasp the significance of this attempt here on the part of a lot of people to sell these shares. In some states it'll work. Evidently in Maryland it doesn't. That doesn't mean you can't have raw milk in Maryland. I could think up five ways to sell raw milk in Maryland, and all of them legal, direct from the farm to the consumer. But that isn't one of them. Now, in some cases, some people will write me a letter and say, well, you know, it works in Georgia. Well, okay. Georgia's a foreign country to Maryland. Hell, it might work in Albania, China, and Azerbaijan. I don't know. But it doesn't work in Maryland, and it doesn't work in Wisconsin. And there's several other states that it won't work in, and there's several states that it will work in. So, I mean, if it works in your state, well, then do it. But if it doesn't work in your state, now you can see Maryland's one of them, then you got to come up with a different plan. Now, primarily, this thing of the raw milk update here is dealing with court cases, and Acres and farmers and consumers would like to buy raw milk, and we'd like to be able to go into the Kroger store to do it. It would be much more convenient. But the state has come up, for whatever reason, and, you know, you can ascribe whatever motives you want to, but they've come up with the idea that it's bad public policy for people to buy and then consume raw milk. I don't agree with that. I think that that's in error. And I want to buy and I want to consume raw milk. And so I went out and bought my own cow and I milked my own cow. And in this state, that's legal. And in fact, in all states, that's legal. You could buy and milk your own cow in Maryland. But what you people are trying to do, you don't want to buy and milk your own cow in Maryland. You want somebody else to milk the cow and then sell you the milk. Now, there's some inherent dangers that come along with that. Let's suppose that the person you're buying the milk from has tuberculosis. And he's handling your milk. And he coughs in your milk. And he could be transmitting tuberculosis, or for that matter, he could be transmitting to you listeria, brucellosis, TB, E. coli, milk fever, pink eye, cholera, or any of a number of other diseases through that vehicle called raw milk. And somebody's going to write me a letter and say, well, he could do the same thing with pasteurized milk. That's true. Hell, he could do it with spinach. It comes out of a field in California. I don't deny it. But that doesn't make raw milk legal in Maryland just because somebody there has a disease and they transmit it by way of pasteurized milk. It doesn't make raw milk legal. Our objective here is to comply with all the laws of Maryland. You can do that. Let me tell you a little story. There's a guy named Larry down in Florida. Florida's got a law against selling raw milk, I imagine, from the farm to the consumer. Anyway, Larry had goats, and there's a neighbor lady down the road. She had about 20 goats, and Larry had about 200. And Larry is primarily producing meat goats for the Arab, the Muslim market down in Tampa and St. Petersburg, but he had a few milk goats there, and he's selling a little milk. And this lady down the road had 25 or 30 goats, and she's selling milk. Well, the dairy inspector comes by Larry's place, and he says, hey, you got to quit doing this because it's against the law. Now, Larry, having been through my school, told him that he wasn't milking bovines and that goats were not bovines and that the law is aimed at bovines and not at goats. And so told the guy to, respectfully, I'm sure, don't let the gate hit him in the ass on the way out. He goes down the road to this lady, neighbor lady down the road, and he tells her the same story, and she closed her goat dairy down. She was intimidated out because she didn't know what the law was. In this case of Nolt, some of these guys, they want to stand up and they want to make a stand, and so they're going to violate the law in order to get publicity. No, that's a political solution to the problem. If you're looking for a political solution, Nolt's doing the right thing. That's the way to do it. Get newspaper headlines, make yourself into a martyr, go to jail, have your stuff confiscated, and then let's see if we can get the legislature to change the law. And we don't need to change the law in Pennsylvania or Maryland. Everybody in Maryland or Pennsylvania that wants to drink raw milk can. There's a way to do that within the restrictions of the law. Now, evidently, these people don't like those restrictions and they want them removed. Well, that's a political question. It needs to be done politically. I don't deny it. Now, down in Georgia, excuse me, I'll start with North Carolina. With sales of raw milk for human consumption and cow shares already being prohibited by law, see our July raw milk update, the North Carolina Department of Agriculture moved to cut off all legal access to raw milk within the state. On September the 7th, the board of NCDA adopted a rule requiring that a charcoal-colored dye be added to all raw milk sold as pet food. The board issued the rule despite there being only two raw pet milk producers in the state. Opponents of the rule took advantage of a provision in state law to force the rule into the legislature for review. The next legislative session does not begin until May 2008, and at that time, Senator Kay Hagan of Greensboro indicated she will introduce a bill to block the rule. For the present, pet milk sales without dye remain legal. That's one of the motives or modalities used to sell milk, is to do it, to sell it as pet food. Okay. And you can sell it for other things besides pet food. In other words, when the government comes in and says, hey, you got to put this dye in pet food, then stop selling pet food. Sell it as industrial cleaner. See how simple that is? Now, Georgia, the Georgia Department of Agriculture followed North Carolina's lead and proposed a rule amendment to the Georgia feed laws to require food coloring be added to raw milk for animal consumption, which will render the milk charcoal gray in color. The sale of raw milk for human consumption is illegal in the state. Opponents of the rule forced a public hearing scheduled for November 1st, 2007 on the proposed change by sending far more than the required 25 letters under the Georgia Administrative Procedures Act to the GDA asking for an oral hearing. The agency was surprised by the opposition to the rule. The GDA employee commented that an agency generally receives only 5 to 10 comments on any rule change. On the proposed rule requiring the dye, comments in opposition ran into the hundreds. Well, that's pretty good. That means there's hundreds of people, not millions, but at least there's hundreds, maybe thousands in Georgia, who would like to buy raw milk. Now, what you have here is an attempt on the part of the powers that be to prohibit you from consuming raw milk. They don't want you to do that. So then the objective is for you to figure out a way to do just that. And there's a number of ways that are available for us to accomplish that goal. Now, if you want to get political and go to the legislature and see if you can get the law changed, that's fine. No problem there. After all, that's what the dairies did. That's what the milk producers did back in the 1940s and 50s to get raw milk banned. They went to the legislature and they said, hey, this stuff's dangerous and we need to ban it. And they did. And so now they took them a long time to get that status quo change. And if you want to get that status quo change back, it's going to take another long time to do that. And you don't have nearly the center or the money, the impetus with thousands of individuals as you do when you have an industry. See, when the milk producers, as an industry, go into the legislature, they got money, they donate money to a central cause. This is what's happened, for instance, with the abortion issue. You got two camps, and both camps have lots of money. They got millions of members and lots of money, and they can go in and they can lobby. And that's why nothing's ever done on abortion, because the camps are divided about 50-50. Now, you can do the same thing here with milk. What you need is to organize some group, a lobbying group, like the Right to Life group. And then all of these people send their money, like the National Rifle Association. And there's a lobbying organization, which is aimed at keeping government's hands off of their guns. And it's very effective politically. And so you go around and you get people in the health food store, sign up, you know, for this or that group or something like that. And then you go into the legislature and you lobby, say, we represent 10,000 members. This is what the NRA does. They walk in and say, hey, we represent 3 million members. That's 3 million votes. Now, if you're opposed to guns over here, remember, these 3 million people aren't going to vote for you. So that's the political modality. Now, surveys on lactose intolerance. Two different surveys addressing the issue of lactose intolerance were completed this past summer. The Weston A. Price Foundation commissioned the nationally recognized polling firm Opinion Research to conduct a nationwide survey asking a single question of participants. How many people living in your household have been told by a healthcare professional that they are lactose intolerant? This survey found that 15% of American households include at least one person who is lactose intolerant. Overall, that's about 29 million Americans. The other survey was conducted among about 1,500 raw milk drinkers in the Midwest. See also the July update. This survey asked the same question and followed up with a second question about how many of those diagnosed with lactose intolerance do you have symptoms after switching to raw milk? The answer was 90%. As much as the demand for raw milk has grown, the potential market is far greater. The biggest obstacle to meeting the growing demand will not be the opposition of state and federal regulators, but rather finding enough producers to provide what people want. Now, Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. All those who buy and sell raw milk and other products direct from the farm are urged to join the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. Services of the fund include a toll-free hotline that members subjected to government harassment can call for immediate legal assistance at any time of the day or night, access to legal documents such as herd share contracts or consumer cooperative agreements, and legal advice concerning direct distribution of farm products. The fund's vision is to help pave the way for a food system where farmers can sell directly to consumers without government regulation, whether the sales take place at the farm, through delivery at or at farmers' markets. The cost of annual membership is $125 for farmers, $50 for consumers. For more information, contact the Farmer or Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. And then there's a name and address and so on in here. Now, this article is written by Pete Kennedy. He's an attorney from Sarasota, Florida, who advises many farmers and members of the Weston A. Price Foundation about legal issues surrounding raw milk. For more information on legal and health issues surrounding raw milk, visit the Weston A. Price. Now, this is www.westonaprice, it's all one word, .org, or contact the Weston A. Price Foundation, PMB 106-380, 4200 Wisconsin Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C., 20016. Now, there's a lot of information here that you receive regularly from Acres USA that will keep you abreast of the raw milk industry and what they're doing and how they're doing it. Shucks, you may want to join up and you may want to participate in the political aspects of raw milk. Frankly, I don't have the time. I want to drink raw milk and I got to get after it. And so I just go ahead and comply with my state's rules and regulations. And then I go ahead and I produce my own for myself. And the state may come along and say, hey, listen, if you want to sell this milk to somebody else, well, then here's what you got to do. Now, you know, it's the sale. See, this is the trick, the sale. You can give this stuff away all day long. You ever stop and think about that? You know, where there's a desire, there's a way to accomplish that desire and to do it legally. Now, I'm going to cover some of that with you as we progress along here, because there's a number of articles that are on the Internet. The Raw Milk Movement, Healthy or Hazardous? A Brief History of Raw Milk's Long Journey. And what's happening with real milk? That's a 27-page article. And then real milk articles, the FDA and CDC bias against raw milk. No facts provided in recent reminder about raw milk consumption. The real reasons why raw milk is becoming more popular. What's in raw milk? Why is it that people want to buy raw milk? Where can I find real milk? And suggested reading. There's a number of books, you know, that'll tell you more about raw milk. What is real milk? And then raw milk safety. And raw milk facts, and the health benefits of raw milk, and raw milk in the news, and raw medicine. Now, these two really interested me. It's the raw medicine and the raw milk benefits, or the health benefits of raw milk. So I'm going to start off in the next program, and I'll give you a little introduction here. Milk, of course, is designed to promote growth, specifically the building of baby mammals. Curiously, the process of repair often mimics growth, and that's undoubtedly how raw grass-fed milk has earned its status as one of the world's most powerful healing foods. Now, I want to underline this: grass-fed milk. Not all raw milk is equal. And the way this milk is being produced is very important as to its nutritional value and its health threat. Milk is a conveyor or a conductor of disease. It was discovered in the late 19th century that, for instance, in New York City, raw milk was killing about 8,000 babies a year. Well, that's a bunch of people dying, 8,000 babies a year. And it was being caused by dirty raw milk. The reason that people in the city wanted to buy this milk is because, number one, nobody had ever thought to pasteurize it before. And the people didn't want to produce their own. They're just as lazy back then as they are today. See, you people don't want to go out and buy a cow and then milk that cow twice a day. You want somebody like me to do that for you so that you're free to go do whatever it is you want to do. You don't want to be tied down with that cow that you got to milk every day. Hell, you want to go to Acapulco, you know, for a couple of weeks. Who's going to milk the cow? See, this is always a problem for people like me. You know, when I go to leave, who's going to milk the cow? And so people, they want the convenience. They want to be able to walk into the grocery store and pick up what they want and walk out the door. And then if they're gone for 2 weeks, they don't want the hassle. And I don't blame them. But you can't have it both ways, kids. I mean, you know, there's certain things in life that you have to give up in order to get certain other things. A little trade-off comes along here. Now, if you can hire some guy to milk your cow, that's terrific. That's what I have to do. I have to hire some guy to milk my cow. But not all milk is equal. And some of this milk that's being produced, whether it's raw or pasteurized, isn't fit to drink, and that's today. I wouldn't drink raw milk from just anybody. I wouldn't drink pasteurized milk, and if you gave it to me free or even paid me to drink it, I wouldn't touch the stuff. It's deadly poison. But you know, raw milk, if it's not produced correctly, isn't much better. It is better, but not much better than the pasteurized trash that you're buying right now. So we'll cover that as we progress along here in this raw milk update. We'll give you some of the facts and figures concerning this raw milk. Just because somebody says, I've got raw milk, doesn't mean that it's necessarily good for you. The state does have a point. They might not have all of it, but they got some of it. Hey, let me give you a reminder that you've been listening to the Law Hour Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. And remember, we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Hey, we're just about out of time. We're going to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.